You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. My name is Lance White, and I'm your host. Tonight, my guest is Pedram Shojai. Pedram is an acclaimed Qigong master, a master herbalist, and talented acupuncturist in Southern California. He comes from an unbroken line of alchemical masters of the Yellow Dragon Monastery in China, and is an ordained minister of that tradition. Having studied a variety of alchemical systems, Pedram uses his friendly teaching style to impart esoteric concepts to English-speaking audiences. He has studied yoga, meditation, qigong, tai chi, kung fu, and meditation for years, and has taken sabbatical in the Andes and Himalayas. Pedram uses a no-nonsense approach to teaching the esoteric arts, and holds each student personally accountable for their own liberation and enlightenment. His 3-DVD series has been designed to walk the student through the basics of Qigong training and philosophy and segues them into highly advanced skills and applications. The 3D set is called The Alchemy of Qigong. Pedram conducts seminars and retreats around the world and is the founder of the Taoist Path School of Alchemy. He is also the president of Vitality Health and Wellness, Inc., an innovative integrative wellness group, as well as founder of www.well.org, which is an online community where wellness practitioners can network together via the Internet. Pedram will be conducting several seminars in conjunction with Sacred Mysteries Productions starting in 2010. So let's welcome this very talented and multifaceted being to the show now. Hi, Pedram. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Fantastic. Thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good, good. Before we delve into your life work, I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge Jay Widener and Sharon Rose for their outstanding work in creating sacred spiritual cinema. They're creating the most profound and enlightening DVDs that are available anywhere in the world. One of my favorites is Time Wave 2013. You can explore the titles on their site at www.sacredmysteries.com. And if you want to go further down the rabbit hole, be sure to visit Jay's site, which is www.jaywidener.com. I highly recommend all of their amazing productions and writings. Well, Pedram, let's find out more about you and how you began your journey. Didn't you begin studying to become a medical doctor?
Yeah, you know, I was on the traditional track, do what others have done and follow in great footsteps. And, you know, I worked pretty hard. I was ranked number one in my high school, went straight to UCLA and was on track to being a medical doctor. Had a number of experiences in my internship thinking, yeah, this, you know, these guys aren't very healthy. And so I spent some time doing some soul searching, found a Tai Chi teacher at the time, and through that found some Kung Fu instruction. Within the course of a few months, I had observed with acupuncturists and seen energy healers and all kinds of things that were completely foreign to me. Mm. And, you know, what I saw, I couldn't understand, I couldn't prove, I couldn't explain what I had witnessed with these individuals, but I was hooked because I had experienced it for myself. I'd seen it before my own eyes and said, well, there's got to be something there. I got to know. And it started a very interesting trajectory down the line of esoteric studies and, you know, Taoist studies, alchemical studies, and what have you.
Mm. Would you like to elaborate a little bit about some of those things, the Taoist way? And I know most people are familiar with some forms of alchemy, but it, it helps to have somebody who's versed in those things to explain what these mean.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely, and it's kind of a fresh perspective I guess I could offer, because having grown up in the West and being non-Chinese, I really went the gamut and studied with a number of Chinese masters and a number of non-Chinese masters, and so getting to figure out what these Taoist guys are talking about. Now, alchemy being the transmutation of lead to gold, the turning of our base elements into the refined spiritual awakening and the enlightenment that comes from that. Now, Taoists are using a system based on the fundamental duality of yin and yang. They look at the entire universe and say, this thing, this creation, this all that is that can't be described is somehow expressing itself in this language of polarity. It's in this language of yin and yang, what's up without down, left without right, hot and cold. And taking that, they observe the nuances and the movement of these forces through nature, right? They observe the rising of the seasons, the rising of the sun in a given day, and they find that the expression of these forces of yin and yang throughout our given day, year, cycles of years have all taught them things, and after thousands of years of dedicated study and observation, what really became important was understanding how these principles applied within the human consciousness and within our personal energy fields. So the currency of this system, one would say, is this thing called qi, which is basically translation for energy. So we have these systems of spirit, essence, and energy being the currency between your physicality and your spirit, and really the language of life. And there's qi in everything. There's qi in all life. And so the Taoists began to study the interaction and the movement of this qi energy, and through their understanding of breath work and through their practice of breath work, really developed a system of cultivation of qi energy so that one can settle the mind, cultivate the breath, and then use the internal energies to wake up spiritual centers. And much like the Kundalini yogis, much like the Inca shamans, wake up the different aspects of one's spirit so that one becomes fully self-realized. So it's not very different than what all these other guys are talking about. It's just a slightly different system, but it's so well articulated and it's so well preserved that all you need to do is plug yourself into this system and do the work, and you start to immediately reap the benefits.
I've seen people doing it outside, and it's a beautiful kind of artistic slow motion kind of movement of, and I'm guessing here that it's movement of energy.
Yes, energy and breath, synonymous. Same in the Indian systems where one is working with prana, and the prana is the breath, and it works its way through the nadi, which are the subtle energy channels within the human body or the human bioelectric system. These individuals that you're observing out in the park are cultivating their breath, moving it through what we call the meridians or the energy channels that run through the body, opening up the flow of energy, because there's a lot of different theories and schools of thought about how to cultivate energy like there isn't anything else. But the premise being that what you really need to do is open up the smooth flow of energy, because blocked energy flow is where life force stagnates. Blocked energy flow is where the body starts to age, where disease is allowed to set in. So what you're seeing these individuals doing is opening up the flow of energy, cutting out what we call the impedance or the blockage to that flow, and in doing so, opening up their life force and their vitality for a synced union with the energies of the what we would call the Tao or creation of the universe around us. There's no lack of energy. You split an atom, you get so much energy out of it, and how many trillions of atoms do we have in the cells in our bodies? So it's the perception of lack that comes. And so the Taoists teach us how to cultivate, compress, and understand the dynamics of this energy and use it to rejuvenate our bodies, to wake up our spiritual centers. And there's a number of different lineages. Taoists are very popular and famous in the lore for being wizards of old, and that becomes somewhat of a byproduct of the awakening and the understanding of how the dynamics of the energetic flow of the universe work. So what we have is this universe that we live in, which is the mystery of all mysteries, and the more we understand about ourselves, the more we understand the nature of this energy flow, the nature of how spirit moves, and then we stop fixating on the purely material, and we're able to do magical wizardry, which is a simple byproduct of understanding what this thing called reality really is.
Well, it seems as if those who are blocked would be subject to all kinds of maladies, and the worst one being the feeling of being cut off from nature and a lack of connectedness to all things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there's one thing I see the most in my clinical experience as a physician is the root of the disease that most people are showing me is actually a disconnect from meaning in life, a disconnect from that flow or that force of energy that's all around us. So then they get into predatory behaviors, they get into vampirical behaviors. Hey, I'm upset with you because you didn't compliment me on my new hairdo. All this nonsense that people get caught up in because they're needing to get their energy from somewhere else because they've cut themselves off from the source, which is this abundant geyser, it's a fountain of youth, which is just inside their lower bellies.
Wow. And then, of course, you have those who tend to want to control everything, and that's one of their ways of feeding off the system.
Then we have the puppeteers.
Yeah, sure.
There's plenty of people who understand this and are leveraging that particular dynamic to their own advantage. Whether it's the car salesman who doesn't really understand it, but knows that the guy walking in a midlife crisis wants the shiny red Corvette, or all the way up along the spectrum of politicians convincing you that the world's a dangerous, scary place, so you need to give your personal liberties in order to be protected. And all the way through.
Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly happening today. There's no question about that.
And then the news.
And then we have the idea that the Earth is a body itself, a light body, and that the Earth has its own form of blood and spirit. And so, when you do this practice, are you able to connect to those energies much more easily?
You know what? You actually have to. Think of it this way: it's almost like a Russian doll model, right? We are in this great sphere of the universe, and within the universe, there's a subsphere of our galaxy, and in that subsphere, we're in the sphere of our sun, and on that, we actually have our feet on the ground of our planet, and all of these rings of connection are how we connect up back to the origin of who we are and what we truly are. And so connecting with this field of the Earth, this living, conscious, the Sophia, as the Gnostics would call her, but the Taoists in their ancient lore and their practice, it's absolutely critical to connect your feet and your root up with the center of the Earth, and then create a connection from your crown up to heaven or the center of the universe, center of the galaxy, however you want to connect up. And there's that's somewhat of a simplistic way of saying it, because there are incredibly nuanced techniques and incredibly sophisticated ways of doing this. You look at the ancient Egyptians, they specifically used shafts inside their great pyramids as energetic capacitors to project them out to a very specific place in space to be reborn as stars. I mean, you know, in the ancient world, we weren't so stupid, right? We understood this stuff, and really smart people took this stuff very seriously, because of, you know, what my teacher always tells me, it's the only game in town.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it's so funny that, you know, we think that we've evolved into a high civilization, but from what I can tell, we've actually been devolving. We're not able to even, well, we couldn't build the pyramids today if we had to, and the technology that was used is a mystery to us, and you know, the spiritual connections that the shamans and the indigenous tribes have to the other worlds and other realms and higher dimensions is still intact, and we can't even, you know, that we have trouble communicating with one another. So
that's it. I mean, that if that isn't the mark of the fall, I don't know what is.
It seems that way to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We've disconnected from our main line here, right? The flow of consciousness and understanding and gnosis of all of this energetic matrix of the universe, and we've insulated ourselves in our little craniums, and we're trying to figure out how to do this reality thing without the sauce, right? The real juice of where our power, our flow, our understanding, and our enlightenment comes from. And so that's simply a mirrored process. We're projecting, we're looking outside of ourselves trying to get these answers. You know, you can go to universities for the rest of your life, you could talk to whomever you need, but at the end of the day, if anyone tells you they have the answer, run, because the answer is only to be found inside of you. There's the unlock, right? And that's where these esoteric systems come from. That's where the understanding of the ancient Taoists and many others. You know, I'm not a Taoist purist by any right, because I think, you know, first of all, you know, I'm Persian. I was not born in China. I don't feel like you need to be Chinese to learn these systems, and I don't feel like these systems should be exclusively kept to the Chinese, because then you start to get some of the secular issues and the infighting, and this is my ancient Chinese secret, and you get all sorts of this nonsense that happens. Because then people get involved, right?
Yeah. It's amazing how ego always seems to pop up, no matter what.
Anytime there's humans there, right?
Oh, boy. Now, on your DVD, on the first DVD, you teach quite a bit as you go, and then you give examples, and the movements are just so graceful and beautiful. I mean, I just wanted to be able to do it like you do it, and of course that's going to require some practice. But you speak about the luminous body, and I hear that a lot lately. Alex Gray does paintings around the luminous body. This is a real body, is it not, that is capable of being developed within us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with or without the development, it's there. Now, what the master does is understand who they really are, and then the coherence of that light starts to come up, and then the luminous body becomes brighter and brighter until we become literally a light unto ourselves. There's so much light coming through that we start to shine outward. And so I don't know if your listeners have met very many holy men. I talk to a lot of Americans who've actually met precious for few of these guys. Right, and you know, they'll go down a trajectory of following a church or a lineage or whatever it is for their entire lives, right? But they don't have one holy man or one very beautiful example of who, you know, what this could all represent and be to base it on. And so when you meet a holy man, they're glowing. They're glowing, man. I've met maybe five in my life. You know, I got the fortune of studying with the Dalai Lama when I was in India, and I've met the Karmapa Lama, and I've met, you know, maybe five really bright, beautiful individuals in my studies. And I'll tell you, there's no doubt. There's no, here's my resume. here's what I have to say. Let me sell you on my snake oil. You look at these people and you say, wow, guy's got it, right?
Yeah,
and so what
yeah.
happens with this luminous body work is you work to, excuse me, you work to ignite your light body. You work to clear the clear out the impedance and bring up the coherence of the light inside your energy field. You work to capacitate, basically. You work to bring up the flow of that light and then compress and ignite it in a way that it starts to glow, it stays substantiated. You no longer need, you know, biscuits and corn and chicken or whatever it is that you're eating to generate energy. You're starting to pull energy through from the eternal source. You're pulling energy through from the quantum source, which is that zero point, no place, no time, well from which you can draw it. So once you gain the sophistication and the understanding of who you are and where energy really comes from, then, you know, you step out of that predatory, I need to get mine mentality. And you start to really cultivate your light body. And again, my teacher's right. It is the only game in town. Because once you wake up to that, you start to wake up to how truly magnificent you are. Mm. How this delusion, this deluded, this Maya, as the Indians call it, this perception of reality is just it's a dream. It's just a fabricated storyline. And so, yeah, we can get into a number of different theories about human enslavement or human entrapment and all these types of things. To that I can't really speak. My answer is, you know, there's lots of interesting books, but I don't know. But the one thing the Buddha said when he was asked about what enlightenment looks like or feels like was, you know, it just feels like I woke up, right? You start to wake up to what's really happening. And that's the one thing I see happening with individuals. I see this in my patients, I see this with students, I obviously see it in the politicians and a lot of the people I interact with in the world. And I'm an active guy. I mean, I still keep my head shaved, but I'm very active in the community because I feel like it's important in order to make a difference. I can't go hide out in a mountain and you know, have a bunch of monkeys, you know, crash my world for my grandchildren here.
Right. Right.
But, you know, Milton Erickson, you know, he's a famous quote when he, you know, founder of hypnotherapy, was asked, what's it like putting people into trance all day? And he said, man, I don't think you understand what it is I'm doing here. I'm taking these people out of their trances. You know,
they're
in a deluded sleepwalking state. Because you're asleep, I'm just trying to snap them out of it, man.
All we need to do to go into a trance is turn on the television set.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll be buying a jet ski and a new car, you know, within a day.
Yep.
I need that. Yeah, and again, that kind of refers back to the puppeteers we had kind of talked about before. I mean, there's an entire, I mean, you get PhDs in this stuff, right? There's science behind how to sucker people into getting what they think they need, right? And so that's how far gone we are.
Absolutely. But it seems that once you cross that line, that you're in dangerous territory because you're going in a direction which is the antithesis of enlightenment and developing your luminous body.
Yeah, you know, you start to get deluded, you start to get lost. And the more lost you get, the more alone you feel, too. I mean, if you start doing light body work, that's why, you know, Buddhists are very, very up on, you know, community, right? Because you start to realize, once you start waking up, that everyone else is pretty deluded. And so one of the first and easiest traps to fall into is saying, well, check me out, I'm so holy, I do yoga, I do qigong, I do, you know, X, Y, or Z, and so I'm a holy person, and look at those idiots, right? And so the ego starts to own it, right?
And
so there's traps all the way through. And
yeah,
I'm a young guy, and I started studying this stuff pretty early on, and I'm guilty of all of it, right? You go through it, you go through all of the deluded traps of the ego trying to figure out what the heck is going on, because the reality of us all being asleep and how absolutely pathetic it really is.
Yes.
It's a little depressing at first, right?
But it's very depressing.
Again, it doesn't take away from what needs to get done, which is, snap, come on, wake up, right?
Yeah.
You need to wake up and be a source of light and be that beacon and be a shining star, because that is a million infinite amount of, to the thousand factor more powerful one person waking up than, a billion people staying asleep and just going through their dreary lives and not understanding what the score is, right? So the more enlightened people we have, the easier this gets. So hey, that's why we're on the radio today, as far as I'm concerned, because
absolutely,
it's a great place. Yeah, it's a great place. You can call it a lonely place, but man, leave me alone for 6 years in a mountain somewhere and I'm fine. But it still is a lonely place, and I'd sure like a lot more people to come join us on this path, whatever that path may be for them. But my only request is, please get involved in some lineage that's tried and true and wake up, right? Because it's the only game in town.
Well, I think somebody, I can't remember who, referred to it as a master game. It's kind of the ultimate game that we can play, is when you've realize that all the material stuff doesn't mean anything, then that leaves turning to spirituality and developing the soul and the spirit.
That's it. And it's a double-edged sword, because I've seen it in my generation go in a very interesting way too. And this is something that I haven't quite figured out, but it's something that I think about often. Is, I met a lot of enlightened / pseudo enlightened people who kind of came through the 60s, 70s, hippie generations and all that, and all the wonderful things that they stood for. But as we sit here watching the planet just bleeding oil into the Gulf and wars everywhere and all this kind of stuff going on, the question one must ask is, well, how effective were all those music festivals, right? What needs to get done to actually turn the tide and not have the dark, ignorant forces drive the policies and drive the energies that are really kind of creating a lot of death and destruction on our planet? That's
a question I think a lot of people have on their minds, and myself included. And it seems to be. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that one.
Yeah, listen. If I had the answer to that, I'd be flying to the United Nations right now and saying, "Guys, look! I figured it out." But this is something that is the challenge for, I think, the next decade. I mean, if humanity is to wake up and perpetuate the best parts of what we've evolved to, it's either sink or swim at this point. And the world's at a turning point. And I say that in a very personal, responsible type of way, because what really, a lot of people, I think, are doing is kind of offsetting their personal responsibility by saying, there's some portal to the center of the galaxy is opening, or 2012, everything's going to change, and all this kind of outside of yourself thinking, not taking any personal responsibility for maybe having cut the guy off in the car right in front of you when you were talking about it with your friend, or whatever it is. Unless we become personally accountable and an active part of that awakening and that enlightenment that has to happen within yourself. If you're talking about enlightenment, you're talking about how 2012 is going to change everything, and you're not doing anything to change yourself, oh, come on. And so that is one of the pet peeves I have with what's happening in this generation here is there's no accountability, there's no personal responsibility for this growth. And so what happens is the darkness is self-perpetuating in that way, because even the people who are talking about it aren't doing anything about it. Right?
Yes.
And so
that's right.
And so, you know, there needs to be, where the rubber hits the road is right livelihood, right action, and right speech, and all these wonderful things that the Buddha had to say. But, you know, there's a lot of cowardice, and there's a lot of laziness, and there's a lot of misinformation that's led to people just being distracted and unattentive to what really needs to be done, and that's your own personal transformation and awakening.
Right,
once
right.
that happens, then everything else kind of falls in line, because then you get it. But if you're sitting here getting angry at BP or getting angry at George Bush or whoever it is and thinking that you're doing your part, wake up, right? Because guess
yeah.
what? It's still moving. It's still going on. Bush is out of office. Now BP is doing this. And it won't end.
Yeah. And the wars have been going on for thousands of years. And
yeah.
they project, you know, another 500 years that they can stretch all these current wars out to. So, but my own personal feeling about that is that before that could even happen, there's going to be a global financial meltdown, and that will force people, I think, to seriously consider what it is that's important in life.
Yeah, God willing.
So.
God willing. You know, I've actually been guardedly optimistic about this whole process here, because and there's some indicators, you know, Americans aren't being so stupid in their spending and people are being a bit more frugal and all these types of things. But it's one of those aha moments, right? I have this in my clinic all the time, where someone comes in and is just at a breaking point, and what you really need to do is wake them up. You have to slap them. It's like the Zen teacher coming around with a stick and just smacking the disciple in the head with it.
Right.
You know, something needs to happen to snap people out of it. And you know, whether it's a global economic crisis or what have you, you know, I don't know, but I hope that will. I mean, the knowledge that all this is happening and it's happening as we speak is obviously not enough, right?
Exactly.
I have a good example. I have a patient who would come in. He had back pain. He'd come in and I'd say, listen, you know, I can fix this back pain every time you come in and tweak it out, but you're 60 pounds overweight, so we need to talk about weight loss. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm this, I'm that. I'm, you know, busy attorney just doing his thing. And you know, I understand, you know, we've all got our circumstances, right?
Right,
but,
right.
You know, cholesterol goes up. Doc throws some beta blockers at him. I still, you know, I'm going to still keep going. And so, you know, I'm sitting here watching this compliance nightmare thinking, how do you get across to this guy? And the next day he comes in and he's considerably lighter, and he's joined some weight loss program, and all these things happen. I say, hey man, what gives? You know, I've been jumping up and down with my pom-poms here for, 6 months trying to get you to wake up, snap out of this thing. And so it turns out, you know, he'd been going to this particular fast food restaurant for a number of years, and then he got so busy that instead of going in, he started going in the drive-thru.
Uh-huh.
And so one day he had enough time, so he parked the car, he went in there, and the girl who had been serving him a while back took one look at him and said, no, no more for you, go home. And this is, you know, this is an $8 an hour employee at some, you know, fast food chain who basically cut this guy off. And he was so powerful attorney, all because he was so flabbergasted. He was so floored that it was enough to drop his jaw and make this guy stop eating like a pig, right? And so this is what the world needs, right?
Yeah.
The world needs some random slap in the face and say, come on. Come on, right? And,
exactly.
And so this is what needs to happen in terms of where my teaching is and what my energies have been going towards is, look, I don't want a big following. I don't want a bunch of people joining the Pedram cult. I'm actually more of a private guy. The only reason I did any of this is because my teacher said it's time for me to teach and get out there, and here I am. What I want is for people to wake up. What I want is to give the people the tools. I put an incredible amount of information and did not dilute it into these DVDs and the book that I have coming out and all these things that I've done in the last couple of years and kind of taken time away from my family to really manifest in the world, because it's time for it to be shared in a very undiluted, easy to understand. I speak English and I'm, you know, a smart guy and I'm telling you what I've gathered from all this stuff type of way, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's the best, it's the best I can do. I can't enlighten anyone for them, right?
Right,
that's,
right.
That's the delusion. Oh, hey, great, will you be my master? No, thank you. No, thank you, right? I'm
well,
just a guy.
Isn't the whole point of it for the individual to create the master within?
That's it. That's it. You have to find, you have to mine into your own energy centers, into your own consciousness, and understand what's happening. The master is there and nowhere else. You know, see the
right,
boot on the
right
side of the road, you shoot him.
Now, one question I had, when you go into the second CD is Shaolin Basics, and then in the third CD, this one sounds really advanced, sounds very interesting. It's Shaolin Alchemy. Is the Shaolin, is that the same as the movie that used to be made about the Shaolin priest and everything? Is that the same kind of... that was a dramatization, but could you talk a little bit?
That's very much it. So there was a monk, a famous monk named Bodhidharma, who traveled through the subcontinent of India, possibly through Persia. The origins of where he came from are kind of unclear, but most likely he was an Indian yogi warrior master, right?
Ooh.
Traveled through Tibet, landed in China at this monastery, the Shaolin Monastery. Now, Bodhidharma, or in Chinese we call him Dhammo, he didn't originate the Shaolin Temple. The Shaolin Temple was there and prior to his arrival. He showed up and then started to really innovate and change things. What happened was these monks who were studying all of these systems and these monks who were Buddhist by definition at the Shaolin Temple were incredibly devoted meditators. But when he showed up to this temple, what he saw was a bunch of weaklings. These guys were just sitting there on their butts, meditating, doing their devotional stuff all day, praying, praying, while the bandits were coming into the village, raping the women and children, taking slaves, you know, and just mugging the monks and leaving. And so he said, what is this state of affairs, right?
Right.
So he said, listen, you guys have gotten the Dharma all wrong, right? And it's kind of the same issue I have with the turn the other cheek philosophy in Christianity, because that's a really convenient philosophy for the Roman Empire to perpetuate, you know, the edge of their sword, right? We're going to do as we wish, but you turn the other cheek, right? It's a great deal, right, for the imperialists in Rome. And so, you know, Dhammo said basically that's it. You know what? We're shaking things up. He brought in these systems of Qigong and starting to teach them, you know, starting with the 18 hands of the Lohan, which is, you know, the famous Dhammo's 18. He started to integrate martial arts training with Qigong training and basically brought these guys to life. These guys became the warrior monks of China. They became the famous Shaolin monks. Yes, and these were the guys in the stories, right? These were the guys who you saw the movies about. Now, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of dramatization. There's all these guys that, you know, say, oh, you're a Qigong master. Let me see you fly. Let me see you throw a fireball and all this kind of stuff. And I say, you know what? The West has its dramatizations of superheroes. You know, there's the Green Lantern and there's Superman and there's Batman. And then there's reality, which is, you know, people who can heal, people who are, you know, exquisite martial artists, and people who are awake, right? And so these Shaolin monks were incredible martial artists. They were capable of performing all kinds of amazing feats because of the energy cultivation, mind cultivation as built into the actual temple, which is the human body, right? They started to integrate chi flow, energy flow through the human body and use that to become this real force to be reckoned with. They became the defenders of good in the ancient world, right? They became, you know, and then, you know, of course, humans can get corrupted, right? What happened was eventually certain monks sided with certain administrations and kings wanted the temple, you know, they wanted the abbot from the temple to favor them, and, you know, politics, politics, politics.
Okay.
But, yeah, exactly. But the essence of this training was the enlightenment training, the mind-body integration practice, that is the Qigong. And so I've, in volumes 2 and 3, laid out the basics and then the alchemical practices of the muscle changing, the marrow washing, the tendon changing classics, and taught basically, you know, specific types of Dantian lower abdominal breath locking to really share with the student how to get this power flowing. Right. Now, what you're going to do with that power is your own responsibility, and you know that's kind of hangs on my head every, you know, daily. You know, I've kind of given away the sauce here, so I've taught a lot of meditation. I've taught philosophy, and I've taught the things that will help kind of ground people in what this is all about. Because no, I don't want this for some MMA fighters to be able to, you know, get into a cage and beat each other like gorillas better with. You know, that's not what this stuff is designed for.
Right.
It's for self-defense and enlightenment. And so the essence of these Shaolin practices is what I've really kind of imbued inside of volumes 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And of course, that takes an increasing length of time, probably, to master those. But you start. Oh, tell me about the colors. You start out with the yellow. What is the symbology of the colors?
You know, it's yellow. I brought on because the vibrant yellow color is really one of the first things that you'll see when some people start to get healthy. The yellow. The spleen and the earth system is really what kind of comes online, right? And so what we are working on to build the foundation, if you look at the Indian Chakra Center, you know, third up from the top, which is kind of fixing the orientation of the chi flow, opening up the meridians and dilating them so that the health is restored back to the system, right? And then what we're doing is then we're moving back to the fundamentals in volume 2, you know, and so we're going kind of root chakra, building the foundation and working back up to the second chakra in the orange, right? So we're kind of we're shocking the system into waking up a little bit because, well, you know, let's face it, people are unhealthy, people have been stagnant, right? People sit behind their desks or sit in their cars or their trucks or whatever they're doing on a day-to-day basis. It's, you know, chances are, unless they're really dynamically, you know, being active in some sort of, you know, mind-body regimen, is their energy stagnating. So we're using
I can vouch for that.
Yeah, and it's tough. You know, Lance, my first book comes out this year in winter, coming into spring, it hits the bookshelves, and
okay.
You know, you can't type a book while standing that easily, and so, you know, I am subjected to the same things. I'm just a guy, right? So
right.
I definitely, you know, kind of had to buckle down and write this book, and as much Qigong as I wanted to do, there's just hours and hours a day of sitting and typing. I had to work for a couple months to kind of break some of the stagnation that came in while I was trying to manifest this project. So you have to be mindful of this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It's not easy to stay free-flowing in a world where you can lock into your BlackBerry, your iPhone, and have access to all the information you ever need and never have to move 20 feet if food can get delivered to you.
That's right. We'll be in little pods pretty soon, and we won't ever move. We'll just have little IVs that will feed us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the matrix, the metaphor of the matrix and how that world looked is actually not too far from
it's
the reality.
It's not far from the truth.
No,
yeah,
that's why it's
not far at all.
Such an incredible movie, right? You look at that and say, wow, yeah, I could see that right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, early in my career, I worked with children. I had summer camps for children, and I'd work with children who had learning disabilities and ADD and ADHD and all these curse labels, I like to call them, right? You know, doctors say you have this. Oh, you know, then you know, obviously my kid needs drugs because he's sick. And so we'd teach them Tai Chi and, you know, basically let them be kids and have them climb trees and just, you know, let them get into the right kind of trouble out in nature and kind of figure out, you know, how to not have two left feet. And they'd snap right out of it. They were just kids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, you see these kids now, you know, sitting at the table, texting each other, completely absorbed in their video game systems, and just...
It's sad.
I'm
sorry, but I find that it's a strange world that we're living in.
Yeah, and we're becoming part cyborg, right? I mean, these kids easily get a chip put in them in the next, you know, decade or two that will help integrate,
right.
You know, integrate their games into the back of their retina or something, and, you know, you'd never need to see the light of day. So, you know, we live in interesting times, and, you know, that's an ancient Chinese curse, by the way. May you live in interesting times.
Well, we're very cursed then.
Yeah, it's you know, it's we all picked, if you believe in that, you know, we all picked this time and place to incarnate. You know, pick our parents and pick this era for you know, one reason or another. And, you know, and again, if you're into that kind of storyline, then what the heck are we doing, right? And so we have some big choices. We have some things we need to do. I mean, this the way global economics and the way our geopolitical systems are working are absolutely not in line with what a lot of the philosophers are saying. You know, guys can stand up in front of the UN and say whatever they want. When push comes to shove, if we need oil, we're taking it, right? And, you know, or the Chinese are going to get it, or the Russians are going to get it, so we better take it to offset that. And there's all these crazy, you know, the animal mind, this geopolitical posturing all comes from a lack of enlightenment, right? You get some enlightened individuals that say enlightening things, but they're not the ones in charge because the real politique, you know, dictates it. And, you know, there's money, there's arms, there's drugs, and all these kinds of things that are being run by people who are either dark in their consciousness or very unenlightened, right? And so, again, that brings us back to where we all need to be. Start waking up. Everyone, you know, the quicker more and more people become enlightened and become lights unto themselves, then this cycle of dreary darkness starts to snap. Right? But standing in front of some, like, some riot gear hose apparatus in front of the, you know, in front of the World Trade Organization, whatever it is, I mean, you just get pummeled and arrested. I'm not seeing that work. I wish it was, right?
Much of what's happening today isn't working, and I do believe that that's all part of a very old system that's broken down and can't be fixed, and it's in the process of crumbling and imploding on itself. So it's going to be up to us to figure out what kind of world we want to live in. And are we willing to live in a world that has perpetual wars, that has corruption and sex trade and graft and, you know, all of the things that we see around us? I personally am not willing to live in a world like that. I'm not sure what it takes to change it. But as you said, there must be some kind of critical mass or 100th monkey theory that will tilt the scales in the direction of consciousness and conscience. And possibly also, you probably are aware of this, because the things that you do encourage telepathy and other intuitive skills, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm sure of it.
Those are a byproduct of just waking up to yourself. But I think I know where you're going with this is, you look at the world of quantum, and the more people who start to collapse the quantum wave, and the more people that start to really see the world the way it could be, the more that becomes from a possibility to a probability, and the more that probability becomes reality.
Yep,
So absolutely, the telepathy and the understanding and the prayer, I mean, these things are all wonderful, right? And these things all need to be done in a much more dedicated and concerted fashion. And again, I'm not a kumbaya kind of guy, right? I'm a scientist and I'm a spiritualist and I'm everything in between, but, you know, show me something works and I'm into it, right?
Yeah.
And so let's start to do more experiments. There's some great stuff. The Maharishi Institute's done some great stuff. I mean, there's some genius people doing wonderful things out there. And so it's actually, you know, on the flip end of that, and I'm also not the Dark Sides One kind of guy, we are at an incredible crux and a turning point where there's just some incredible people doing incredible work, and as these awakened, enlightened projects all start to kind of come into the global consciousness, I do believe that the internet has a big part in that. It's going to start tipping the scales, as you had discussed earlier. You know, there's an incredible amount of light and awakening that's coming through from people just waking up on internet channels. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't a bunch of kooks and crackpots on the internet saying whatever they want to say. That's the Wild Wild West, baby. You know, you got to be able to, you know, discern and understand that, you know, there are very motivated, money motivated, politically motivated, any kind of motive. I mean, there's all kinds of motives out there.
You know, I think you said something that relates to that, and that is that as you awaken, you begin to see what's true. It's just an intuitive feeling that you get. You don't have to go to the Encyclopedia Britannica to do the research. When somebody says something, it just resonates as truth, or it is not true. There's something wrong with it, or you get this kind of gut feeling. And,
you know,
we need to start telling each other the truth, like that, like the girl that worked in the fast food place.
You know, God bless her, man. She saved
kids'
life. Yes,
that
it's
just
so
wonderful.
Yes, it's up in your face honesty, and that's how trance mentality works. You know, Lance, you don't say anything about my alcoholism, and I won't know, and I won't tell people that you're cheating on your wife. You know, these kinds of tacit deals, right? That everyone's got, like, doing all this crap, right?
Yeah.
And hiding stuff from each other, and having these kind of, you know, horse trading, as we call it in Washington. This is crap. And the more we can snap out of it and call each other out in a loving and enlightening and in a helpful way, the more we can stop perpetuating this nonsense. And holding each other to what you're calling, the truth.
Absolutely.
The truth. And you're absolutely right in saying, it's almost paradoxical. I mean, we're going to go around in this circle for an hour, but, you know, what it boils down to really is what we started talking about at the very beginning of this conversation, which was, listen, don't take it from me. Pedram might be a nice guy. He might talk too much. He might be just another guy, right?
Yeah.
Do these exercises. Meditate, or do some other exercises that are proven to work. Meditate,
right.
And wake
right.
up, and then there's no argument. There's no need to get into all this semantic kind of bickering that people get into. You know, enlightened people just look at each other and nod.
Yes. Well, doesn't it integrate the duality of the yin and the yang? It becomes a one rather than a unity instead of the division. The division is an illusion. Which, once you are enlightened or you have awakened or in the awakening process, that you move beyond duality.
That's it. It's the duality consciousness that is reflected in one's mind. The duality consciousness that drives one to move in an imbalanced way is just I guess the Catholics would call it an aberration. It's a separation from understanding what this universe, what God's creation, whatever you want to call it, is truly about, right? And so duality consciousness is the mark of the primal fall, the disease, right?
Yeah.
So once we start to snap out of that pathology, then all things come whole, all things come back to center, right? And that's when conversations needn't even be had, because the truth is the truth is the truth. go ahead and find it. It's right here. It's right here. It's right now. Yeah, you want to know the truth, go ahead and go close your eyes, breathe, and listen. And first of all, what you're going to find is all the noise and the chaos and the reactivity of your mind and all that. And once you learn how to kind of clear all that and start to tune in and listen, it's just right there. It's right there. And, you know, one of the pushback I get from early meditators and students who I work with is, you know, oh, hey, you know, I tried to meditate and, you know, it didn't really work out for me. And I said, well, you know, I tried to, you know, fly a F-16 fighter plane and it didn't work out for me. What do you mean, man? It takes practice, right?
Right.
If it was easy, it wouldn't be that interesting.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you know, we have flown by, speaking of flying, this hour has just flown by talking to you, and it's been a wonderful hour and a very enlightening hour, and I wanted to make sure that you have time to tell everybody, the listeners, where they can find you, what your website is, and also what's going to be the title of your new book.
Okay, well, the title of the new book is Work in Progress. I like a specific title. We're still working it out with the publishers because, and I'll go ahead and mention it just because I like it enough. I like the title Rise and Shine, Taoist Alchemy, Qigong, and the Spiritual Science of Waking Up. And it's a threefold approach because the first is, you know, kind of in the Gurdjieffian sense, you know, everyone's asleep and we're trying to get people to wake up. And
I studied Gurdjieff for a while.
Yeah, oh, sure. And, you know, people are asleep, and, you know, Milton Erickson would say the same thing, and everyone's in a trance. And then from there, there's the level of the muck, right? Everyone's kind of getting burdened by all of their history and their personal trauma and all that. And so I teach all of these very specific techniques to kind of rise out of that gunk and kind of shine it through so that you can let go of the baggage and get on with the abundant grace that life really is. And then it kind of bridges into the tertiary application of the title, which is points to the star seed light body ignition systems of, say, the Egyptians, where you actually bring up your vibratory frequency to a point where you're igniting and you're on and you're enlightened to thyself, and you literally become the sun, S-U-N, of God, right? You become that. Right.
Good.
And so, yeah, and I'm involved in a bunch of projects. I'm the producer and host of a movie we're doing actually with Sacred Mysteries because I love those guys.
They're wonderful.
They're doing good work, and they're not cowards, and they're telling it like it is, and that's why I work with them because they're just the best. And so we're doing a movie called Vitality, which is a documentary on health, and the platform is, you know what, we've heard enough about this health insurance crap. You know, what these guys are talking about is health finance reform. They're not talking about health reform. They're not even talking about health. What we want to now talk about is health assurance, right? And we're talking to a number of very notable individuals in Eastern, Western, integrative, all kinds of medicine, and we're going to kind of create a salient argument for what health is to be in the future outside of this kind of government-controlled kind of crappy model. Right.
Absolutely.
And so,
well, listen,
that's fun.
Time. So would you let people know where your website is so they can find you?
Of course.
Well, have you back and talk again.
Yeah, of course. TAOISTPath.com. www.taoistpath.com. Check it out. Subscribe to my blog. I'll let you know what we're up to. We're doing all kinds of fun projects. So listen, I had a great time. You're great. This was a lot of fun. And so
Me too. I thank you very much. And when you see Sharon or Jay, say hello for me because they're terrific people.
Will do. Yeah,
all right.
They're the best.
Thanks a lot, Edmund.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the work that you do.
Oh, you know what? It's all I can do, so God bless. Thank you very much.
Exactly. All right. Good night, and good night, everybody.
Good night.